Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you have just joined us, welcome to Radio Islam International. You are listening to the program Socially Speaking. I am your host, Sister Zeenat. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Well, listeners, this morning I will be introducing and speaking to you, or at least to rather two very amazing sisters, inshallah. In the Monday morning focus, that is the slot that I normally do at this time, of course I'm not going to be doing the Ideal Muslimah today, but I will be speaking to an internationally acclaimed and award-winning author, Sister Naima B. Roberts from the UK, inshallah. And in this slot, she will be discussing and sharing with us two different aspects. The first is her website. It's called myidda.com website that she created, and also we're going to be talking about the new book of poetry called Catch Me that that has been launched already, alhamdulillah. So I'm looking forward to that interview, inshallah. And of course that will be followed by our second interview, and this time it will be locally, and we're speaking to Sister Fatima Patel, who is a principal from the Islamia Girls Institute in Homestead Park in Johannesburg, here in South Africa, inshallah. Well, let's speak to Sister Naima first. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's an absolute pleasure to have you with us on Radio Islam International.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's wonderful to be here. Jazakallah khairan.
Sister Naima, you know, could you just tell us a little about yourself? You know, perhaps just a little, you know, where do you come from? Tell us just briefly to just familiarize our listeners with who you really are.
Okay. I guess parentage-wise, I'm South African, mashallah. My parents are from KwaZulu-Natal, and they left South Africa during apartheid, and I was born in the UK. I became Muslim at university, and basically have been working within, you know, the field of Muslim women since that time, writing books. Some of you may have read From My Sister's Lips, which was my story of how I became Muslim, and many of my friends. Mm-hmm. And I've written other books, obviously, for children and young adults since then, and also published Sisters Magazine and Discover, the magazine for curious Muslim kids. Alhamdulillah, I've been blessed to travel in South Africa and meet many Muslims out there, and have an opportunity to connect with my sisters in South Africa, which is a great privilege for me. So it's really always wonderful to come on the radio in South Africa, because it's like coming home.
Alhamdulillah. And yes, I know, I think you were here and you did the an interview with us here on Radio Islam International about your book, you know, From My Sister's Lips, inshallah, which we will be talking a little about that a little later in the program. Now, we're going to be sharing, and jazakallah khair for that, and it's really wonderful to know that you, you know, to actually speak to you. I've heard about you, I've read your book, alhamdulillah. I've gone through some of those, some of the poetry that you've sent through to me, alhamdulillah. I couldn't, unfortunately, go through all of them, but the few that I read, alhamdulillah. I'll tell you about that also a little later in the program. But how, you know, we're going to talk about the two aspects. The first one, obviously, is the website, the myidda.com website. And, of course, then we'll go on to the next book of poetry, Catch Me. The first thing, how and why did you develop this website, myidda.com website?
Well, those of you, of your listeners who have been following my story, you know that I was, alhamdulillah, happily married for 16 years to Abu Ibrahim, the father of my children. And la qadr Allah, he will return to his Lord in April this year. Allah yirhamu. So for me, obviously, I didn't really know any other widows. It's not very common amongst my age group to lose your husband in that way. So when I found myself in the state of widowhood, I wanted to find information about what it really means. I knew, you know, your sort of waiting period for, you know, 4 months and 10 days, but I wanted more information. I wanted to connect with other widows' experiences. I wanted to understand some of the wisdom behind it and really get my head around the concept. And I just came up really empty-handed when I was online and looking for some kind of comfort and some kind of helping hand. So alhamdulillah, yani in the course of the Idda, I decided to compile what information I could about the Iddah, and also the experiences of other women who've gone through it, and you know, and what their experiences are, and how to support people in Iddah, etc. And we put it together into a website, which is myiddah.com, /iddah.com. And it's basically a resource for women in mourning and those who are supporting the women in mourning. Right now, we're concentrating on the Iddah of widowhood, but inshallah, we intend to extend that to include the Iddah of divorce as well, inshallah. But basically, you can go on there, read articles, share them, comment on them, and get some guidance and some solace, really, for what can be a very, very difficult and sometimes isolating time in a woman's life.
Alhamdulillah. Well, firstly, I'm very sorry about the death of your husband. May Allah Ta'ala grant him Jannatul Firdaus, inshallah. Now, during this journey, Sister Naima, what lessons have you learned?
I think the biggest two would be tawakkul and gratitude. Alhamdulillah, I was blessed to have a good marriage for 16 years, a very supportive marriage, alhamdulillah. As you know, for many, many sisters, you know, there's a limit to how much you can achieve if your husband is not 100% behind you. And Abu Ibrahim, my husband, alayhamu, he was. So, you know, I was grateful for that. I wrote an article about this called The Gift of Iddah. It's on muslimmatters.com. And it really was talking about how when I heard the news, he was in a coma for 2 weeks. And then when I heard the news that, you know, he hadn't made it, really one of the things that I did was, I made sujood of shukr, really, because Allah had been so merciful, for all those years, and ever since I've become Muslim, and my whole life, subhanAllah, so many blessings that I could not count. I was not going to become ungrateful now at this stage. I was not going to become angry or bitter or resentful. This is something that Allah decreed for me. There's wisdom in it. There's khair in it. So I accept. And that was really, for me, that was my lifeline. You know, accepting Allah's decree and knowing with firmness and yaqeen that there was khair in it somewhere, that there's a reason for this. And alhamdulillah, with regards to my husband, you know, he had made Hajj with me just the year before. We had taken the whole family on Umrah. He had been unwell, so alhamdulillah, you know, he had good signs, mashallah. So for me, it was more a case, okay, now that I'm left here on my own, what am I supposed to do? And that those two things, tawakkul and gratitude, subhanAllah, those are the things that, you know, that I learned very, very, very good lessons about. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen.
Ameen. It's certainly something, you know, I don't think anybody would think of making a sujood shukr at a time like that. You know, so this is something that even we should learn from, alhamdulillah. Okay, what is it, you know, in this website that is important for sisters when they are observing Iddah?
I think the main thing is that sometimes, unless you come from a community where there are many widows, Iddah can be quite an isolating experience and quite bewildering, really. It's a long time. 4 months is a long time to kind of put your life on pause in a way. So on the website, they will read the experiences of others and connect with others and also get some knowledge about the rules and regulations of the Iddah, and also things that people have written during their Iddah. It could be poetry, it could be prose, it could be reflections, it could be other things that widows think about in the Iddah. For example, you know, the issue of remarriage later on, the issue of how to look after the rights of your children. There's also articles there on how to support women who are in Iddah, which, mashallah, we just posted one just at the end of last week. It's a really fantastic article, 6 ways to support the widow in Iddah, and it's, mashallah, it's a must read for anybody who is going through that or who has a relative or friend who's going through that, because it really does make it really clear what the widow and who is in Iddah needs from the people around her. And we want to just keep on producing that kind of content. I'm working on a video series, inshallah. I've reached out to some people, you know, who have more knowledge as well, to get more of an insight into it. So it's a work in progress. And, you know, if anybody can go online, inshallah, and, you know, and read through it and get back to me with any comments or suggestions, that would be fantastic. It's growing, and we hope to develop to have a community at some point where we have a forum of support where widows can come on and discuss with other widows and get support from other widows, inshallah, bi-ithnillah.
Mm-hmm. How important would you say support is during the Iddah period?
Oh, it's vital. It's absolutely vital. Really, without that support from family and friends, from your sisters and from the community, it's, you know, it can be a very, very depressing and lonely time. And, you know, without the support, you're lonely. You know, and you have a lot of responsibilities, new responsibilities that have come as a result of you being maybe the lone parent or having to take care of your husband's affairs. I mean, in my case, my husband left behind a business, which I had to start running, which I had never done before, you know, and I had to go in, start making this very, very big decisions, you know, more or less straight away. So without the support, without people bringing food, without people taking the children, without sisters coming to visit me, without people getting in touch online on WhatsApp, you know, giving me a call to see how I am, bringing me, you know, I don't know, a cake or whatever, I don't know what I would have done, to be honest. And I ask Allah to reward every single one of those sisters and the brothers who took time out of their schedules to think of my family and myself, and reached out to us in our time of need, because it was invaluable. Really, that support, you can't without it. You can't without it.
Mm-hmm. And just finally, one more question with regards the Iddah period. Are there still many misconceptions among Muslim women, generally, about the Iddah period? For example, not knowing and not talking about it, not wanting to know about it. In your opinion, can we change that perception? Or is it necessary for us to do it?
No, I think we know that, mashallah, knowledge is light. Mm-hmm. And I think that, once you've understood, the alhamdulillah, the proofs for the Iddah and the understanding of the Iddah is there, mashallah. And I think that in, some cultures, like I will say, for example, in Egypt, up until a few years ago, the Iddah was quite a different experience. You were expected to be in mourning literally for a year. You were only allowed to wear black from the inside out. There's certain foods you couldn't eat. If you eat mahshi or like eat meat, then it's as if you're, desecrating the memory of the beloved. Things like this. So alhamdulillah, our deen is the middle way. And it gives you the time that you need to sort of get yourself together, obviously to see if you're carrying, a child or not, etc. And, time for you to let others take the burden for a while. And I think that's why your question about the support really kind of, spoke to me, because really that Iddah is a waiting period, but it's a period, as what I call it, it's like you're an arrow in a bow and you've pulled back the bowstring and you're waiting those 4 months and 10 days before you actually fire, because you have to fire. You have to move on. You have to go out into the world. You have to go out into your life. You have to go and start, living again. So that is the period, that waiting period is literally like you're the arrow in the bow and you're pulling back the bowstring, but you're just checking your aim. You're just checking and looking and seeing, where am I going to aim? What am I going to take from this? How am I going to move forward? Who am I going to be after this experience? And then, inshallah, after your waiting period is done, you fire that bow, inshallah, in the best direction possible, bismillah. And that way, it's a mercy. It really is a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Alhamdulillah. And Allah make it easy for you, inshallah. I know it's still a long way to go. It's a life without your husband. And it will be a difficult part, but inshallah, Allah will make it easy for you. And, of course, give you better. Now, you have written from my sister's lips and many, many other books, which really inspired lots of women. And you were, like I said earlier in the program, you were at our studios and you did a very beautiful interview, alhamdulillah. You have now written a book on poetry. How different is it to the books that you wrote?
Oh, it's a world. Well, it's worlds apart, I'd say. I mean, it's a very small book. It's a book of poetry. It's let's see, about 40 something pages. It's very short, about 45 pages, and it's poetry that I wrote at a certain time in my life. Anybody who follows me on Facebook will know that I wrote a lot of poetry during my Iddah. It was one of my ways of coping and one of my ways of healing. And inshallah, I hope to release those poems in a different book. But this book is called Catch Me, and it's a book of poetry really that's about, identity and faith and sort of finding yourself, you know, in this sort of post 9/11 world, if you like, or, you know, post Shahada or post coming back to the deep world. You know, it's very, very, it's very real poetry in terms of, mashallah, many, many sisters have said how much they have reflected on and been inspired by and connected with those words, because obviously I write from my experience, but when you read the poem, when you hear the poem, you will connect it with your own experience. So alhamdulillah, it's there as a book. It's online as a Kindle. You can buy it on Kindle. We also have quite a few audios on SoundCloud. So we've got audios of me actually reading and reciting the poetry. So we're trying, and we have some videos on YouTube as well of the poetry. So alhamdulillah, we're getting it out there, and it seems to be striking a chord with sisters, and that's really what I wanted to do.
Alhamdulillah. Personally, obviously, I didn't go through all of the poems. I didn't have the time to go right through them, but I did go through a few of them, and alhamdulillah, I was really inspired by them. And I also found them to be so real, you know, so easy to understand, as if you were writing and sharing, as if you, rather, were writing and sharing what so many other women, or sisters for that matter, who may have gone through some difficulties in their lives, they were not able to say it, and now reading these poems, you actually feel, this is what I want to say, alhamdulillah. And I found that, and of course also there was so much hope in it, you know, once you read about the difficulties that the person goes through, you actually feel that there is hope. If I have faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I can get through this. So that was so inspiring to me. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. I think that's one of obviously I've been writing books for a while, and I've written, you know, fiction and non-fiction, but this poetry was something that came quite late. I haven't always been writing poetry all these years. So alhamdulillah, it's nice that mashallah people connect with the poetry, but definitely one of the things I would say, particularly in the Idda poetry, was that note of hope is a huge part of why I write, because I write to work through the emotions. And, you know, the state of the believer is one of optimism. The state of the believer is one of, you know, expecting good from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of looking on the bright side, of being positive, of being hopeful. So even if you are going through a trial, there's always, always a way to grab onto hope, to hold onto hope, to pull you through out of the darkness into the light. So with my poetry, that's definitely a huge theme that runs through all my poetry. This, the one in Catch Me, and the Idda poetry. So alhamdulillah that you picked up on that. I like that, mashallah.
Alhamdulillah, jazakallah khair for this wonderful work. Now, it also contains, like we know, a number of poems. Something that I want to ask you is, which one resonates most with you, and why is this so?
I think, subhanAllah, that's a really difficult question, actually. Some of them I wrote about my own self, my own situation. Some of them I wrote, you know, seeing friends of mine go through situations, or even just hearing about people. You know, alhamdulillah, I've continued writing, and I usually just post my poems on Facebook and Instagram. So if you are on any of those, you know, just follow me and you can have a look at the new ones that come up. But I think Catch Me, the title poem, and the one that we made the one that we made a video for, it does speak to me, because it says everything. If you want, I would love to recite it for your listeners.
Yes, that's what I want to ask. That's what I want to ask you right next. Would you love to please share one of those poems with us? Would you like to read it out to our listeners?
I would love to do that. Okay, Catch Me. Sweet stoicism stifles the screams, silences the sighs, sinks the soul to numbness. My heart is too hard to hurt, my hands too full to face the sky, my eyes too focused to tear up with wild, willful tears. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me and catch me. When my back finally breaks, when my heart finally cracks, when the tears finally fall and fall and fall, drowning me and all my patience, strength and fortitude, when the agony of loss threatens to throw me from the cliff, catch me, Lord, catch me.
MashaAllah, alhamdulillah. It's a wonderful poem, and I'm sure our listeners out there, you know, this is just the first one that's in this book called Catch Me, and there's so many more like them, alhamdulillah. Now, maybe you could just comment a little on that before I ask you the next question.
I mean, Catch Me for me, and when you watch the video, it really is about the experience of any individual, not just sisters, you know, any individual who just has too much on their hands to break down. They want to break down, they feel they're at breaking point, but they can't because there's too much at stake, they have too many responsibilities. And subhanAllah, when you're in that state sometimes, your heart actually becomes so hard you can't even cry to Allah. You know, because you just feel like you have to be strong, you have to hold it in, you can't show any weakness, even before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why in the poem I say, forgive me, Lord, because I know it's wrong for me to have a hard heart towards you, but I know that at one point I will break. I know I can't keep this up. Please forgive me, be patient with me, and when I do fall, catch me. You know, this is really the whole idea behind it. And subhanAllah, you know, this was the only post-Idda or the only Idda poem that is in this collection, because when my husband passed away, Allah yarhamu, literally you just felt a world of new responsibilities on your shoulders. The children, the house, the work, the business, your work, everything just comes on at once. And you can't break down. You can't just get under the covers and say, I'm not waking up today. You know, I don't want to see anybody. I don't want to take any calls. Yes, okay, a day, 2 days, a week. But I couldn't keep doing that. I had to get up. I had to keep moving. I had to move forward. And so I found that whereas at one point I had been very soft-hearted and crying to Allah, I became very hard and very tough. You know, because I felt, this is what I have to do. I have to put my armor on now. This is the test. This is what I have to do. And so that poem, subhanAllah, really, really came out of that period of my life where I just felt, I can't afford to break down right now. But I know that eventually I will, because I can't keep this up forever. So this was my plea that, Ya Rabb, you know I'm going to fall. When I do, catch me. Let it be okay. Be my support. Be my safeguard. Be my wakil. Be my wali. This was the idea behind that poem.
MashaAllah. Well, Sister Naima, it was so wonderful talking to you. But before we just, end of our interview, what are you currently doing? And, what are your future plans?
Well, we're still working on the myidda.com. That's my-idda.com. We're developing that. We are working on a new platform for sisters, which will be online, which is, mashallah, good news for all the sisters readers in South Africa, because what we're doing is we're actually moving sisters onto an online free access platform, and that will be launching at the end of November. So I hope to be able to come back on the radio and tell everybody more about that, but I'm very excited about this because it's, subhanAllah, able to share our sisters' content all the way back to 2007 online for free for the first time ever. So I'm really, really excited about that, alhamdulillah. And then just promoting Catch Me and working on the next book of poetry, which is 4 months and 10 days, the book. Alhamdulillah, working on my website as well, and running the company, and hopefully working on some children's books here and there, and hopefully planning a tour for South Africa sometime next year, inshallah.
Inshallah, that would be great, and we'd love to have you with us in the studios. But jazakallah khair. Just one more question that I have for you. I know, I'm sorry about that, but what advice would you give to writers out there?
The first advice I'll give is keep writing, mashallah. Make your intention and keep writing. Keep perfecting your craft. Read. Take on board what you like about what you read. Read widely. Read well. Take on board what you read from, what you like from what you read, and apply it in your writing. There are so many fantastic books and online courses that you can attend that will show you the way, and free blogs where people talk about writing, how to write, and what to avoid and what to do, and how to get into a writing habit. And alhamdulillah, we have so many different ways now to share our writing with the world now that the internet has opened up. So don't give up hope. You have a message, mashallah. keep writing, keep sharing it with the world. The world wants to hear your story, inshallah.
Inshallah, ameen. And it was wonderful talking to you, and inshallah, we hope to have you with us again. Perhaps a little later in the month, if it's possible, inshallah. And all the best to you. May Allah Ta'ala make it easy for you. And, well, we can only wish you the best, inshallah, in life.
Thank you so much. Jazakallah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Well, listeners, that was Sister Naima B. Robert from the UK, inshallah. She was talking to us about her iddah.com website. It's called myiddah.com website that she created during her iddah period. And also the launch of a new book of poetry called Catch Me. Inshallah. Well, listeners, that's it. When we come back, we'll be talking to another wonderful sister. But this time, we're in South Africa. We're speaking to Sister Fatima Patel, who is a principal at the Islamia Girls Institute. We're going to be talking about this, the school itself, and also about admission to the school for next year, that is 2016. Inshallah. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a few moments. Matullahi wa barakatuh. If you have just joined us, welcome back to the program. So socially speaking, I'm your host, Sister Zenith, and joining me now in the second part of our program is Sister Fatima Patel, who is a principal from the Islamia Girls Institute in Homestead Park in Johannesburg, and this time in South Africa. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sister Fatima. Jazakallah khair for joining us this morning.
Alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah for your time.
Sister Fatima Patel is the principal, as I've mentioned earlier, of the Islamia Girls Institute in Homestead Park in Johannesburg. Sister Fatima, can you please tell us a little about yourself?
Okay, I'm a mathematics and accounting teacher with a B.Ed. degree in senior phase in FET education. I am currently, like you said, the principal of the school. I am very passionate about teaching and want to make a difference in the lives of the children that I teach.
Okay, when did you actually start or become the principal at the school?
I was recently promoted as of the third term, so around September of this year.
Okay, so you have been a principal just for a few months yet?
Yes.
Alhamdulillah. And how do you find being a principal at a school? Were you a principal perhaps at any other school, or is this the first school that you've taken on the post as principal?
No, this is the first school that I've taken on this role. It's very challenging. I have to be on my feet all the time, making sure that the school becomes a success. I do enjoy my job. I love interacting with the staff and students, so I find that very interesting. I believe that the school as well as the learners have tremendous potential, and I want to be a part of the school becoming a success.
Inshallah, and I'm sure it will be a success. And this is a girls' school only.
Yes.
Okay. Is there any, you know, what actually initiated this? You know, how was the school founded and when?
Okay. After the opening of the primary school, Maktabatul Rabia in Crosby, there was a need for an all-girls high school, basically, for those girls to basically come to from the school. So after Aisha started the school, it was her dream to open up her own school, and she bravely stepped up to the challenge in the year 2010. We started off as an all-girls home school for grade 8 to 9, and with Allah's mercy, the school flourished since then, and we have become a fully established high school. However, Apa Aisha has now stepped down as the director of the school, and we are running under new directors, Mrs. Ifat Azhar and Humaira Hussain.
Okay. Now, I understand the school is affiliated with the Cordova International School as well?
The directors that we have are also directors on the board of at the International School of Cordova, which is in Crown Mines.
Okay, I actually did speak to one of the sisters there. I think it was last year sometime.
Yes, when this is their first year of operation.
Alhamdulillah. And who actually is Apa Aisha?
Apa Aisha Bhatt is basically, she was the principal, she founded the school. She is currently teaching overseas in Abu Dhabi, so she is no longer part of the school, but she was the one that initiated the school, that started it off, that basically got the school up and running and got it to the position where it is today, obviously, where we have our first class of matriculants.
Alhamdulillah. So your classes were up to 8 and 9 first?
Yes, we only started with 8 and 9.
Okay. Now, I know you will be having your admissions for the year 2016, I guess.
Yes.
When will that be?
Admissions are currently open, so we've already received a lot of admissions for our grade 12, but we are ongoing and accepting for all grades, basically, for next year.
Okay, what is your current role at the school?
The current role, we are a small school, so the most classes range from about 8 to 10 learners,
mm-hmm.
but from grade 8 to grade 12 together, we have about 45 learners currently.
You know why I'm asking this? Because sometimes, you know, there are so many children out in normal schools where you have classes with, you know, 40, 45 children, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Of course, I don't have any children at school at the moment. And having a child in a smaller class, obviously, you know, this makes such a big difference.
Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm.
We are allowed to give, because the classes are so small, we can give the children the individual attention that they need. Teachers are always willing to go above and beyond and help the learners because they have more free time. They help the learners in their free time. So we try to get all our learners to excel to their full potential.
Alhamdulillah. Now, you know, since you want to get your, more people, more children into your school, can you give us some of the reasons why parents would want to send their daughters, especially to an Islamia Girls Institute?
Okay, we are fully Sharia compliant and an all-girls high school that allows the parent a degree of comfort as their daughters are in a safe and secure learning environment. We focus not only on secular but Islamic education as well. So by the time our learners leave the school, they leave it as well-rounded Muslimas who understand that practicing Islam is only a guarantee for success in the future, both in this world and the hereafter. We are unique in the sense that there aren't many girls' high schools, all girls' high schools that are Muslim in the area, so we're one of the first basically opening up.
Okay, there's many people that feel that, you know, we should have more mixed schools instead of just girls' schools or boys' schools. But
yes.
What are the advantages of, you know, in particular Muslim girls going to a Muslim school and a girls' school only?
The girls aren't exposed, in the terms of it not being mixed, the girls aren't exposed to interacting with boys at a social level. So, and we can be, as teachers, as female teachers, we can discuss things with them more openly, and we can teach them on how to deal with problems that they will face in the future. Some of these things we might not be able to discuss if there were boys in the classroom. So it is a bit easier to have an all-girls school. The girls are more comfortable around each other. We take each other as a family, where the older kids look towards the younger kids as basically younger sisters. So it's a nice learning curve for the learners.
And as a principal, I mean, you have been a teacher for many years too. Do you think or do you find girls missing out on anything in particular if they are not in a mixed school?
Not necessarily. We as a school try to offer our learners as many opportunities as possible. So we do not necessarily deprive them of anything that they would otherwise get in a mixed school.
Okay. We're going to take a very short break. When we return, we will continue with our program. A reminder to our listeners, if you have any questions or concerns with regards to the Islamia Girls Institute, please feel free to contact us. And we have the principal of the school with us. She'll be able to answer your questions, inshallah. The number to dial, 011-854-1548. That's the studio number. Or you can SMS me or WhatsApp me on the number 082-84-92-786. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a few moments. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you have just joined us, welcome to the program Socially Speaking. I'm speaking to Sister Fatima Patel, who is the principal from the Islamia Girls Institute in Homestead Park in Johannesburg, South Africa. We have some questions that's come in. Let's just take that first. I'll just get back to it. But in any case, I think one of the questions is with regards the GDE. Is the school, GDE compliant, Sister Fatima?
Yes, shukr alhamdulillah, the school is registered with the Department of Education. We follow the CAPS curriculum as set out by the department, and we do receive, because we are a high school with matriculants this year, we do receive regular visits from GDE facilitators who view the progress of teachers and observe that we are meeting the necessary requirements.
Alhamdulillah. Okay, one of the questions that's come in, it says, please advise about boarding facilities for girls at the Islamia Institute. Do you have any of this?
Unfortunately, currently we don't have any boarding facilities for our girls.
Mm-hmm. I see. I think this is a call from overseas. So
yes.
Maybe
no, it is something that we would like to maybe perhaps look at in the future. But currently, because we're running a school, we don't have any boarding facilities.
Okay, another question that's come in. It says, Assalamu alaikum. Please ask the principal, what are the times of school and, of course, where it is situated and fees?
Okay, so the school currently is situated at 1974 Albertina Sisulu Road, Homestead Park. Our school times, the school starts at 7:30 in the morning, where we begin our day by reading Turakat Salah, the Fil Salah, and the girls read Surah Yasin together. Our formal teaching starts at 7:45 and we end at about 3:00.
Okay, Alhamdulillah, thanks for that. Okay, the other question, of course, was the one that we asked earlier. It's with regard whether the school was registered with the Gauteng
yes.
Department of Education.
Yes.
And, of course, you've answered the second one also with regards to the fees, more or less. Or have you not gone to that?
It would be more appropriate if interested parties just come and phone the school, because we have obviously different fees for different, the grade 8 and 9 have a different fee structure. And the grade 10 and 11 have a different fee structure. For the grade 8 and 9, we're looking at about 2,000 rand per month. And for 10 to 12, we're looking at about 2,100 per month.
Okay. What subjects and, of course, what kind of facilities does the school have to offer?
Okay, in our senior phase, in addition to our Islamic subjects, we have all the subjects as stipulated by the GDE. In FET phase, we do offer a variety of subjects. We have all the major subjects, including all our science subjects, accounting, etc. In addition to that, we are trying to introduce CAT and consumer studies as subjects that we offer from next year.
Okay, Alhamdulillah. Just a question that I am a bit interested in is with regards to children that have a bit of difficulty, you know, learning difficulties. Since the classes are so small, do you think you would be taking in children that have a bit of difficulties?
Look, it would have to depend on their barrier. If their learning barrier is a small one, the teachers wouldn't mind working with them. We do have a few learners that do have difficulties learning, but if you look at their progress throughout the year, they have progress. They have done better in the smaller classes.
Mm-hmm. So it's not only a school for the best, in other words.
No. We believe each child has potential. You just need to work with them and try and find that potential.
Yes, and it certainly does. You know, if you have, of course, smaller classes, you'd be amazed at how much you can get out of a child. It's just that, you know, you have the individual attention, Alhamdulillah, and, you know, you can get so much more out of a child. And even a child sometimes finds this kind of situation a better place and a better, you know, environment to learn in.
Yes, no, they do, because you have that individual attention. They also have the stronger learners do tend to help the learners that do have a bit of difficulty, and the peer help does do make a big difference in their lives.
Okay. Now, with regards pupils attending university or colleges, would they have any problems, attending or getting accepted at universities or colleges?
No, because we are registered with the GDE, at the end of their matric thing, they do get their statements of results and they do get their certificate from the Department of Education. So having had that, they should be able to go to any university and apply for that. I do know that most of our matriculants have applied. They might not have gotten accepted for their first choice, but a lot of them did get accepted for what they applied for.
Alhamdulillah. Yes, and I do understand that you are having your first matriculants this year, and of course they're probably writing their first paper, if it's not over already, but they're writing their first paper today. So what was the feeling like, you know, at the school today?
We were very nervous and excited at the same time. The girls, I think they just have their last 5 minutes of their session. They are nervous, but they are, we as a staff believe that we have prepared them as much as we can. And we just would like to wish the matriculants the best of luck. And we just make dua that Allah helps them during this time.
Alhamdulillah. Yes, may Allah Ta'ala make it easy for them. And, you know, may they come out successful from these exams. Make the exams very easy for them, inshallah. And like you said, if you've been, you know, really working with them, alhamdulillah, they will definitely do well, inshallah. Yes, now, is there anything else, you know, that you would like to share with us about the school before we end our interview for today?
I would just like to add on the facilities that we have. Mm-hmm. As a school, we have an ever-growing indoor gym. We have a computer lab for the learners to be, learn how to use them and for them to use it for projects and things like that. And we also have a kitchen, which the learners would use for consumer studies, but if they need to for any of the other lessons, they are allowed to bring it into their lessons.
Alhamdulillah. And the times are like the normal schools?
Yes, more like I said, from 7:30 to 3:00.
So that includes, you know, circular as well as madrasa classes?
Yes, that includes both.
Okay, if, you know, could you perhaps just leave with us your contact details? And also a very important question is with regards to parents wanting to perhaps see the school, are they allowed to come in? Do they need to make an appointment to come and see the school?
They're more than willing to come in at any time. It would be preferable just for them to come in and make an appointment and just tell us more or less what time they're coming through.
Mm-hmm.
You can contact the school on 011-837-3784, or like I said, you can come in and view the school at 1974 Albertina Sisulu Road, Homestead Park.
Alhamdulillah. Well, Jazakallah khair, Sister Fatima, for all that information. We certainly do appreciate it, and we do wish you all the best, and you know, all the best to your matriculants. We'll be looking out for the results, inshallah.
Jazakallah so much for your time.
Pleasure. Well, listeners, that was Sister Fatima, who is the principal at the Islamia Girls Institute in Homestead Park in Johannesburg, here in South Africa. The admissions are open. They've already started with admissions. If anybody is interested, the contact details again is 011-837-3784, or you can go in to view the school at 1974 Albertina Sisulu Road in Homestead Park. Inshallah. Well, listeners, that's all that we have for you today. I hope you enjoyed today's program, and inshallah, I'll be back on Wednesday with the family health matters, and inshallah, next week Monday we continue with socially speaking. Stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.